This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Icebreaker tone, high speed, volume, and warmth determine the first impression. Why your delivery matters more than your opening words. In short, icebreaker tone determines whether a room opens or stays closed. And it works before anyone has processed your words. Speed signals urgency or safety. Rushing through an icebreaker tells the room this is a formality, not an invitation. Volume sets the register. Too loud reads as pressure, too quiet reads as uncertainty, and neither earns trust. Warmth is the deciding variable. It is the quality that converts a procedural opening into a genuine human moment. Definition: icebreaker tone delivery is the combination of speech rate, vocal volume, and warmth that shapes how an opening exchange lands with a group or individual. It operates beneath the words themselves, and it largely determines whether people feel safe enough to engage or choose to stay guarded. You can have the perfect icebreaker question prepared. You can have practiced it. You can believe in it, and still watch it die the moment you open your mouth, not because the words were wrong, but because the delivery told a different story. I've seen this happen in boardrooms, in training rooms, in community halls across 40 years of facilitating groups of all kinds. The question barely mattered. What the room responded to was icebreaker tone, the speed, the volume, the warmth. Those three elements decided, in the first 5 seconds, whether people would lean in or protect themselves. Understanding how each one works, and how they interact, changes everything about how you open any conversation. What most people think an icebreaker is. Most people treat an icebreaker as a question. They spend their preparation time choosing the right one. They worry about whether it is too personal, too trivial, too obvious. They want something clever but not alienating, light but not patronizing. That is the wrong problem to solve. The question is a container. What you pour into it, through tone, rhythm, and vocal warmth, is what people actually receive. A mediocre question delivered with genuine ease will outperform a brilliant question delivered with nervous speed every single time. People do not respond primarily to content in those first moments. They respond to the signal your voice sends about whether this is a safe space or a performance they are being recruited into. This matters especially when you're trying to run effective icebreakers in team meetings, because the stakes of that opening moment are higher than they look. A flat or pressured delivery does not just fail, it makes the room harder to recover. High speed, volume, and warmth actually work. These three variables are not independent. They combine to create a single tonal impression, and they can reinforce each other or contradict each other in ways that produce unexpected results. Let me take each one in turn, then explain how they interact. Speech rate. The hidden signal in how fast you talk. Speed is the variable people are least aware of. When nerves arrive, as they nearly always do at the start of a session or meeting, your speech rate increases without your noticing. You move through the opening more quickly than you intended. The room hears this and reads it as either indifference or anxiety. Neither reading invites participation. Slowing down is not about being theatrical. It is about giving people time to register that they're being invited, not processed. A pause after your opening question, even 2 seconds of deliberate silence, tells the room that you genuinely expect an answer. It is one of the most underused tools in any facilitator's repertoire. The practical consequence: practice your first sentence out loud, not in your head. Out loud. Notice how much faster it comes when you're not thinking about anything else. Then find the slower version and rehearse that one. Vocal volume. Finding the register that builds trust. Volume carries a specific social meaning in group settings. Too loud, and you signal that you need the room to pay attention to you, which creates subtle resistance. Too quiet, and you signal uncertainty about your own right to open the space, which invites the room to fill the vacuum rather than follow your lead. The register that works is what I would call one notch below confident. It is full and clear, but it does not push. It assumes people are listening without demanding that they do. This is the volume of a person who is comfortable in their own skin and comfortable with silence. In virtual meetings, this calibration shifts. Without the physical room to absorb and diffuse your voice, you need to project slightly more warmth than feels natural, while keeping volume controlled. Hosting engaging virtual meetings requires you to compensate for exactly this gap, the missing room energy that in-person settings provide naturally. Warmth, the variable that opens the room. Warmth is harder to manufacture than speed or volume adjustments, but it is also the most powerful of the three. It is not about being effusive or performing friendliness. Warmth in tone is simply the audible sense that you are genuinely interested in the answer you're about to ask for. You can hear it clearly when it is absent. A facilitator who delivers an icebreaker in a brisk, procedural tone, even with a smile, tells the room that this is an item on the agenda. A facilitator who delivers the same words with slightly slower pacing, a slightly softer register, and a small uptick at the end of the question, as if they are actually curious, tells the room that this is an invitation. Warmth is also the variable most affected by your own state. If you are rushing mentally, warmth disappears. If you are genuinely present in the moment, it appears without effort. The practical consequence arrive at your opening moment with intention rather than momentum. Stop moving, take one breath, and then begin. The interaction effect. Here is where it gets interesting. These three variables do not just add together, they multiply. High speed combined with high volume produces pressure. Low volume combined with slow speed produces hesitation. Warmth combined with slow speed and moderate volume produces the one quality you are actually trying to create, psychological safety. That is the real mechanism behind an effective icebreaker. It is not novelty. It is not cleverness. It is the creation of enough safety that people feel willing to speak before they know what everyone else will say. That is a significant ask. Most people in professional settings have learned to protect themselves in unfamiliar group situations. Your tonal delivery is the only thing that can undo that protection quickly enough to matter. Nonverbal communication in tense situations works through exactly this principle. The body and voice signal safety before the mind has time to assess it consciously. Why skilled communicators miss this? I have worked with some very accomplished people who were terrible at opening a room. They knew their subject, they prepared well, and they consistently failed to generate early energy, not because they lacked skill, but because they treated the icebreaker as a warm-up exercise rather than the first real act of communication. The deeper reason is this: we tend to rehearse what we say, not how we say it. Preparation focuses on content. We choose our question. We know our agenda. We have our slides ready. The vocal delivery feels automatic, something that will take care of itself once the words are right. It does not. This is the gap I have spent considerable time addressing in my own work. In Say It Right Every Time, I explore how the distance between knowing what to say and saying it well under pressure is where most communication actually fails. The solution is never more preparation of content. It is practice of delivery at the moment of performance. There is also a confidence issue underneath this. Many people unconsciously believe that slowing down looks uncertain, or that speaking warmly in a professional setting seems unprofessional. Both beliefs are wrong, but they are common. The result is a delivery that is technically correct and tonally closed. Emotional intelligence and tone and leadership communication addresses this directly. Tonal awareness is a leadership skill, not a soft skill. The distinction matters. What this looks like when it goes wrong. Let me give you two scenarios that I have watched repeat themselves across decades. The first is the rushed open. The facilitator is slightly late, or slightly nervous, or simply very task-focused. They open with an icebreaker question at the same pace they use when summarizing a report. The words are fine. The room hears business. People give short, safe answers. The session never really finds warmth. The second is the overcorrected open. Someone has been told to be more engaging, so they arrive with enormous energy and a loud, enthusiastic delivery. The question comes out like a radio presenter hitting a segment. The room feels the pressure to match that energy, and instead of relaxing, people become more self-conscious. Participation is clipped and slightly performative. Both of these are tonal failures, not content failures. Both can be corrected through deliberate adjustment of speed, volume, or warmth. The role of communication in meeting success rests heavily on these early moments. What happens in the first 2 minutes of a meeting shapes the quality of everything that follows. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Reading the room before you open it. Here is something I learned the hard way. Your icebreaker tone should be calibrated to the room you're entering, not the room you're hoping to create. If people are quiet and guarded, you do not respond with high energy. You meet them where they are, slightly below their energy, and you bring them up slowly. If the room is already buzzing, you can afford to be more direct and slightly faster. If there is tension in the room, warmth becomes your primary tool, because tension disappears faster in the presence of genuine ease than in the presence of forced positivity. This is why how humor can ease workplace tension works when it does not because the joke was funny, but because the tonal ease it represents tells the room that someone is genuinely comfortable. That comfort is contagious. Reading the room requires you to pause before you speak. It is a 2-second practice, nothing more. You look, you notice, and you adjust. Most people skip this step entirely because they are focused on what they are about to say. Applying this before your next meeting. The analysis is only useful if it leads somewhere practical. Here is how to apply it. Before any meeting or session, run your opening lines aloud in the same space or physical posture you will use. Feel where your natural pace sits. Find one gear lower than that. That is your delivery speed. Set your volume by imagining the person furthest from you and speaking to them at a level that requires no effort on their part. Then reduce it by 5%. That is your trust-building register. To access warmth, think briefly about one thing you're genuinely curious to hear the room say. Not what you want them to say. What you are curious about. That mental shift changes your tone without any technical effort. Hold the pause after your icebreaker question. Count silently to 2 before you say anything else. The discomfort you feel in that pause is the discomfort of trusting the room. It is worth it. Tone in email communication works through the same underlying principle. The way something is delivered carries more meaning than the words themselves. In spoken communication, the stakes are simply higher because the signal is immediate and irreversible. For anyone who wants to go deeper into this kind of delivery preparation, say it right every time breaks down the gap between knowing what to say and actually saying it well when it counts, including word-for-word scripts that help you build the muscle memory before pressure arrives. The impression is set before the answer comes. Here is the truth of it. By the time someone answers your icebreaker, they have already decided how much of themselves to offer. That decision was made in the first 5 seconds of your delivery, not the question, the delivery. Mastering icebreaker tone delivery is not about technique for its own sake. It is about earning the room's trust quickly enough to do real work together. Speed tells people whether you are present or distracted. Volume tells them whether you are confident or performing. Warmth tells them whether this is worth their genuine participation. Get all three right, and your icebreaker question, however ordinary, will open the room every time. Frequently asked questions. What is icebreaker tone delivery? Icebreaker tone delivery refers to how your speed, volume, and warmth combine when opening a conversation or group session. It is the vocal layer beneath your words, and it largely determines whether the room relaxes and engages or stays guarded and closed. Why does icebreaker tone matter more than the question itself? People register how you sound before they process what you say. A well-chosen icebreaker question delivered in a flat, rushed, or overly loud tone will fall flat. The delivery signals safety and intent. The words only carry weight once the tone has opened the door. How do you adjust your icebreaker tone for a quiet room? Lower your volume slightly below what feels natural, slow your speech rate to create space, and let warmth carry through in your phrasing. A quiet room needs invitation, not energy. Matching the room first, then gently lifting it, builds more trust and forcing enthusiasm. What happens when icebreaker tone is too upbeat or energetic? Overly energetic delivery can feel performative or pressuring, especially in professional settings where people are guarded. It signals that you need the room to perform for you, which creates resistance. A controlled, warm tone earns more genuine response than manufactured cheerfulness. Can icebreaker tone delivery be practiced before a meeting? Yes, and it should be. Run your opening lines aloud, not just in your head. Notice your natural pace under pressure. Record yourself if possible. Practice slowing down the first sentence specifically, because that is where nerves compress your delivery most. How does icebreaker tone differ in virtual meetings versus in-person settings? In virtual settings, volume and warmth carry nearly all the weight because body language is compressed or invisible. You need to project slightly more warmth than feels necessary, slow your pace by a beat, and leave more deliberate pauses to allow others to respond without talking over each other. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling books say it right every time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.